This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.
Hi, and welcome to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, and I'm so glad to be here with you today. Almost the end of 2019. I can hardly believe it that day after tomorrow will be 2020. Wow. I have a very special guest today. His name is Christopher Duquette. He's author of Homo Go-Go Man, a fairy tale about a boy who grew up in Discoland. He tells the story of learning to dance to express himself, dance for a living, and dance to love life. Starting in the disco era of the 70s, he's introduced to the fast world of go-go dancing, hustling, drugs, and underground clubs. The story continues on his odyssey to live the big life in New York City as he trips through clubs, more drugs, and a series of boyfriends for two decades until he bottoms out in the story. Christopher cleaned up his life and now is an author and mentor to young adults. Welcome to the show, Christopher. How are you doing today?
I am doing great here on the East Coast, and it's anticlimactic, but tomorrow night's New Year's Eve, and guess what? When you get older, you don't make plans. You stay home.
That is so funny.
Too chaotic.
And so true. Oh, you're too funny. So tell us a little bit about your story. Yeah.
All right. Well, I always was told that I tell a good story. And it started with my grandmother, who I used to have to write thank you letters to after Christmas. But mine went on for pages. And when she pulled out a drawer of what all the letters that she saved because she thought they were, you know, relevant, I was pretty impressed. And when I got into corporate America after college, I was known during my emails to be the type of person that didn't just, like, be short with words and, like, text people on texting. I always had a beginning, a middle, and an end to my story or to my point or my email. People encouraged me to write the story that I told in Homo Go-Go Man because I basically am somebody who, yes, I progressed and moved on, but then again, I went full circle and lost everything and went back to being the person I was at 18 at the age of 44. I was a go-go boy once again because that was the only kind of occupation that would allow my lifestyle, which was I was doing drugs and drinking. So it came full circle, and my friends encouraged me to write it, and it came out so easy and so fast that I was surprised that, and then when I went on the internet and found out how I had to approach publishing companies, I got a contract within 3 months.
Wow.
And that's an unheard story to people who have been, you know, closeted writers who have worked on the same, like, story for 10 years and that can't finish it. So I was very fortunate, but I also am very blessed because I hit on a publishing company that had never covered what they called LGBTQ, and she and I decided we're tired of that acronym. So she came up with the idea of calling it Second Spirit Publications, which is basically Indian, American Indian. In American Indian culture, there is always one member of the tribe that is what you would and I today would maybe call transgender, but that's the person that would be sought out for advice on relations between couples. There was no sexual, like, connotation to this person. But I've seen him represented in an awful lot of, like, stories. And when I shared with my publisher about my one hallucination, when I thought I was going to die, who appeared before me but a bunch of Indians, American Indians. And so I will never forget that. So I'm under Second Spirit Books, which I like. And, yeah, my book basically goes full circle. It starts out when I loved music, listening to American Bandstand and Soul Train.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came home with the Prom King trophy, I was like so proud, but my parents were just so not enthusiastic about it because it wasn't to them an athletic achievement.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
that like inspired me to say, you know what, dancing is where I get my like my euphoria. And that's ultimately what I'm always trying to like say to people. We are all doing something in our lives to try to achieve that state of happiness, euphoria. And
mm-hmm.
it can be through like very normal activities like music, dance, art, copulation, or it can
mm-hmm.
be through abnormal things, which is mind-altering substances.
Right.
And then before you know it, you can even be like, you know, prescribed these substances by doctors.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us a little bit about how the book has been received, Christopher.
The book had been incredibly received because she was Donna Inc. Publishing, who took me on, had
mm-hmm.
never taken on an LGBTQ book. Her repertoire was basically Christian books, children's books, and a lot of science fiction. So
mm-hmm.
when she took a chance with me, it was because somehow she got it. I mean, she's very, very astute with publishing. She realized that there is what they call gay bucks. Gay and lesbians are more apt to spend money and, you know, dispensable income.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't have kids, they don't have, you know, the responsibilities of other families. So she suddenly realized, you know, people were buying my book for one reason. Because I wasn't talking about being gay. I was talking about the lifestyle, which was Studio 54. I mean, that was the big buzzword.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she played that up to death. But that so made people pay attention to the book. I blogged like crazy on any subject matter that's relevant to my book. A lot of underground clubs that, you know, are no longer in existence. I was doing it for a lot longer than the normal adult. I just didn't seem to be able to break the disco bug.
Mm-hmm.
So I continued doing this like for longer than the usual person, for 25 years. And when I finally hit bottom, it was because
mm-hmm.
I was unemployable, I was bankrupt, and I knew the writing was on the wall. I had, you know, gone full circle. So with all my accomplishments that I made, you know, real estate, traveling, wardrobe, you name it, I also lost it all because I lost it to drugs.
Yeah. What was it inside of you or other that was able to help you to turn that around? I mean, to be at the bottom, not everybody gets to turn that around. We see people
well,
every day who are still at the bottom.
Here's what I say to people, and it's in the book, and my publisher initially asked if maybe we could, like, not, we can cut this out, but I said, no, it's so relevant to the story. I never once in my lifetime ever considered the idea of suicide. Never.
Hmm.
I was never one of those kids that, like, you know, threatened or tried and then called 911 or the parents. Never considered it because my life was blessed. I
mm-hmm.
I grew up in a nice, great home, supportive. But I also had a lot of opportunities, and I also took advantage of them because, you know, I knew how to get ahead in the world, charm the world, and the world will pay you back. And when I one night found myself in a position where, wait, this is not going anywhere, I tried calling a few people, no one answered, and then I just decided to try to kill myself four different ways, and I did not do the research. So I was unsuccessful, but I did do four different things that detectives the next day were able to see. Were evidence that I was really, really, really trying things, but I didn't know, like, you know, the right way. Mm-hmm. Long story short is that once you've tried to take your life, you suddenly find, and you tell people, you suddenly find it's one of those subject matters that in this country is starting to open up, that people consider it, people have tried it, but it's not something that we're, you know, I mean, I don't think there's going to be like this, like, run on suicides, but I've had family members who have read my book come forward and say, I tried it one night, and then I called my mother, and then 911, and I really appreciate that you wrote about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not to be stigmatized, it's to be, like, talked about and worked through so that you don't do it again, because the outcome is not very pretty.
Right. Right.
You get treated,
and it's not talked
you get stigmatized
about,
as a psychotic. Mm-hmm. You get misdiagnosed, and you get put in places where you never dreamed you'd be before.
Right, right.
So
I'm
mentor
glad you're
people.
Mm-hmm.
I mentor people by saying to them, don't ever find yourself feeling so low that you think of these dark things. You can reach out, hotlines, find somebody to just, like, talk to, you know, and don't start taking any kind of, like, you know, actions. But what I can say is that in my family, which everybody knows very well about, I came out of it and I learned that I would never, ever repeat those same things again. But it's something to be talked about, and I hear more and more about it.
Mm-hmm. What do you think was the turning point for you to
the
bring you up
point,
from that? Yeah.
The turning point for me was the fact that I suddenly was able to get after being institutionalized for a full 2 months from the damage to my body to the psych ward visit, and then, of course, a month in rehab. I was what's called a ward of the state. You suddenly lose. You become like you become. You. It's almost like you have been serving time in jail, like convict.
Wow.
You are forever a ward of the state, and that record follows you everywhere. And I was misdiagnosed, and I've been now diagnosed by people who I trust and seem to get me, that I was not suffering from depression, but I was suffering from acute anxiety due to all the drugs that I had done for 24 years.
Right. Wow.
So I've learned a lot, and what I've learned in the second book, what I wrote about, is everybody has a very different disposition, and some people like to drink beer. Some people like to shoot heroin. Everybody has a different, like, disposition to a chemical or some substance. The people that are the people I admire the most, like my boyfriend, he can just pray and believe in God and not have any vices at all. And yet he still tells me, on days that I'm not exactly, like, you know, feeling great. I have days like that too, Chris, and we just get through them. So, I mean, everybody should be a little bit kinder with themselves and realize we're all human beings. I mean, we're just Homo sapiens trying to survive and not become extinct.
Yeah, I love that being kind to ourselves. I teach that to my clients, and it's something we're not taught to be kind to ourselves. We're taught to be kind to others. I mean, from a baby, I was taught that, but we're not really taught to really be kind to ourselves. That's a fantastic point. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to hear from our sponsors. And if you want to call in and ask Christopher a question, the number is 929-477-3869. That's 929-477-3869. You can start calling now, and we'll be right back.
Phew! Mom, what is wrong with my hair?
Oh, honey, you have lice.
Lice?
That's rather painful.
I know. Let's try Grace's Niflix.
Hey, what's that nice smell?
Wow, they're gone.
Grace's Niflix not only gets rid of lice, but also prevents it. It's a safe, plant-based product that can be used every day for healthy hair. Grace's Niflix.com.
We use Niflix to protect you.
Would you rather pay rent or own the apartment complex? Easy, right? You want to collect the rents as opposed to paying them. So why pay to be in a networking group when you can own networking groups? Do you want to explore a franchise opportunity where you could profit from starting networking groups and add it on to what you're already doing? If so, contact us via info@amspirit.com. That's info@amspirit.com.
Have you noticed that when you are having a good day, the day seems to flow with more ease? That is no mistake. When we feel good about ourselves, we attract this to us. I'm Joy Truscott, and as a clinical therapist, I specialize in releasing trauma blocks and shifting age-old family patterns that no longer serve us. Hop onto my website, joytruscott.com, to access many free resources and find out how we can work together.
Perceptive Awareness Technique with Susan Zumo teaches rapid expansion of your psychic abilities, increases self-esteem, and provides immediate and accurate answers to all your questions. Contact Susan at SusanZumo.com, that's SusanZumo.com, or call 757-275-4071. Again, that's SusanZumo.com or 757-275-4071 to get started.
We're back on Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, with special guest Christopher Duquette. He's author of Homo Go-Go Man and mentor to young adults. So let's talk a little bit about authenticity, Christopher, since this is called Dare to Be Authentic. What role did authenticity play in all this for you?
I used to work in corporate America and was required to make presentations in front of my peers in the conference room, and I, of course, would not do my homework, and when it was time for me to get up in front of them, I would have panic attack, and sometimes literally leave a room. I found out the reason why is I didn't know what I was talking about. I mean, I was in an industry that I did not even like. It was computer industry. But when I got to rehab, I suddenly realized that when you talk about what you really know, which is you, your life, and don't BS, you can become a very, very articulate, proficient public speaker. And AA meetings, to me, are the place where I can, A, let off a lot of, like, baggage from me, and B, I also can tell when people are just not being real. So, I mean, I don't have the most positive outlook on today's AA, but I've also found other programs that are a little bit more progressive, that use a lot more like progressive therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So things are changing. But about authenticity, what I learned was, I suddenly know I have a voice when I write or talk about something that I really know about,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to just, you know, as I did in college. I plagiarized my way through college, but
yeah.
I got the degree. So I always tell people to humble myself. You know what? That degree really is, it wasn't worthy of me, but I got it because I knew how to, like, plagiarize from
right.
This is before
right.
the internet. This is when you went to the card catalog. So authenticity
wow.
to me is like knowing what you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
doing
knowing
your research,
you are, yeah.
or
yeah.
feeling or talking about what your feelings are.
Yeah, I agree. I agree so much. We do have a caller, so let's take a second and take them. See who's on the line. Hello, welcome to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. Who's this?
This is Donna Quesenberry. I am the first publisher.
Mm. Hey, Donna. Welcome to the show.
How are you?
And actually,
when he approached us with his title, and I hadn't done any LGBT, and as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, I was a little bit apprehensive about moving into that direction because of my belief system with my church. Mm-hmm. However, in reviewing all of Christopher's materials and getting to know Chris, he's really just a really solid individual, and I know he's kind of come full circle. And, well, not kind of. He has come full circle. And, you know, I remember the halcyon days of Studio 54, and I remember that when I was young and Studio 54 was a bluster in the 70s after the rampage of the 60s, which were, I was from the area, they were very climatic. You know, I always had been curious, actually, how people went through that era, and the ones that were really integrated into the scene, as it were, as he was, you know, how they prevailed. That was one of my curiosities. So I found his work very interesting, and we did carry it for a while under Donna Inc. Publications, but then I said, you know what, the LGBT community is just so embracing to fellow artisans that it is kind of remarkable. I mean, they are very supportive, and where a lot of other communities sometimes when you, you know, break out and you do something, they're a little apropos or they are kind of almost defensive with you or like, oh, gosh, she thinks she's an author. Well, we're, you know, I can think of just a whole suite of areas of differing types of different types of genres where people would be like, oh, let's see how they do, and wouldn't do anything to avail or aid a person. But it wasn't really a driver of funding. It was more a driver of being a support because Christopher's just a good person. He has a good story, and he deserved that support. And so I was there to charge forward. And I also
learned how to write a query letter that catches your attention. So I opened it up with the lyrics to "He's the Greatest Dancer" by Sister Sledge. I thought that unique, like, in, because I mean that's how I like basically sold myself to everyone. I was the best dancer.
Well, and you know, and you did send a real query package, and you'd be surprised how many people will approach publishing with just "I have a book." Or send me a manuscript. I don't know how many manuscripts I've received where it's just like an excerpt and there's nothing else. And I'm like, what is this? You know what I mean?
I had gotten like advice from the right people, and I did seem to do the right thing because nobody can believe that I wrote a book in 2 months and then found a you in 1 month. I mean, I send out 50 query letters around the world.
It's so remarkable.
You know,
and can I ask you a question, Donna? What do you think is the, what from your viewpoint, what is the most important message in Christopher's book?
Well, I got two now, so go ahead with both.
I think
the second
the most
one
important
is,
message
is the epitome of the first.
Well, I believe the most important message is, well, A, acceptance, and B, perseverance. You know, if Christopher had given up any place in his life, you know, you wouldn't be here talking with us today. And, you know, and also to be able to engage fellow human beings on their journey, because we all answer for ourselves in our, you know, in the grand spectrum of things, you know, as far as anything supernormal, if, you know, if we embrace that viewpoint, or even if you don't embrace that viewpoint, if you think that, you know, life is a culmination of events, and then when you pass, that that's the end of those. You still have, during your course of living, you know, the capability to see beyond taboos, to see beyond preconceived notions, and to embrace people in their walks of life and to grow to understand where they come from. And he does deliver that message well, that in his title, even though he, you know, quickly assimilated the book. And he has done a rewrite, and it has gone out in a second edition, which is much nicer. The first edition was really pretty, though. I liked the first edition, but we kind of like the second edition more. But, you know, and I think one critic had said that it seemed like a series of events rather than a synopsis of a road less traveled. And really, I do believe that as a person who has a drug addiction or develops an addiction, and dancing can be kind of an addiction too, when you're in a situation where you're not well accepted in the community at large where you've come from, and then you have an alternative viewpoint for your lifestyle, those are common trip cords. Am I right?
And my first book was basically to categorize all the clubs that no longer exist in New York, because now that I've come back, it's no longer the same town. It's a tourist town. It's not a town for people that live in and party in anymore. But that's how I got a lot of people following me, because I was blogging on sites about clubs that no longer exist. My second book is basically to say, you have to be responsible for your own actions. You are your own protagonist. You can't blame your parents. You can't blame anybody but yourself for anything that you may or may not be proud of. So,
I love that, Christopher. What's the title of your second book?
What's the title? It's called Drug of Choice, and I use in the word drug the RX as in prescribed drugs, because I am under doctor's prescription, and it's been a catch-22. It's a benzoid, and it's the only way that I can make sure that when I wake up in the morning, I don't have a panic attack, and because a panic attack while I sleep, reliving things. But I also now have learned that I'm addicted to benzoids, and they are one of the hardest drugs to get rid of, to get over. So,
So
it's called drug of choice, pick your poison.
Drug of choice, pick your poison. Okay, and let's talk about where to get them. We're running out of time. We've just got 2 minutes left. Let's talk about where to get a hold of Christopher's books for the listeners.
DonnaInc.com is the easiest.
Okay. That's
yes,
easy.
And it's right now 40% discount if you enter the coupon code BFN2NYL.
As soon as they log on to DonnaInc.com, they'll see that. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I'm everywhere because she has gotten me everywhere.
Awesome. And then you can also find Christopher on my website, lifecoachmari.com, that's lifecoachmari.com. Just click on the radio show page, and he's there with his picture, a link to where you can get his books, and to his website, Christopher Duquette, and also to his Twitter account. So is there one last thing you'd like to say to a listener, Christopher, before we close? Something maybe on your heart.
The biggest point I make in my second book is that I've learned to advocate for myself, which means that when you meet with somebody of any kind of authority, you need to make sure that they know that you are not just going to take their word, their opinion, or their recommendation at word. I was just diagnosed. I wasted a lot of time, but I also now am what's known as a kind of difficult patient, but that's because if I don't get along with somebody in the medical industry or otherwise, I will move on to somebody else, and that's your prerogative.
Yes.
So
and
what I'm
your
saying
research.
Is everyone should learn to start advocating for themselves by saying, I'm not just going to do this because you're telling me to do this. This doesn't feel right. Talk to family members. Talk to your parents. Talk to your sisters and brothers. You'll find out more information about your DNA that way.
Mm-hmm. That's very wise
and
advice.
And he does get excellent reviews for both his books. I will say Homo Go Go Man is very well received, and he it's a star performer. So
fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Christopher, for being on the show. Thank you, Donna, for calling in and helping along with the interview. And thank you all for listening in to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I hope that you'll pass this along. The replay will be available immediately. And thank you for listening in, and catch us on the next Dare to Be Authentic Radio.
Thank you.
Have a blessed new year. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good new year. Bye-bye.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.